Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples, and disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were filled. And they looked up and they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The Gospel of the Lord.
Okay, on a slightly different topic, I have a question for you. Do any of you follow wrestling? Not a one of you. I don't either. But my son, Tommy, was a wrestler when he was in school. And even though wrestling is not my thing, my family is my thing, and I rarely missed a match. Now, Tommy was small in stature, one of the smallest kids that we knew of his age. Sometimes his coaches had to pair him with someone heavier, since he was often the only competitor in his weight class. Now, Tommy was quick, and he learned how to use his size and his speed to advantage. And surprisingly often, that was enough for him to prevail against someone who was bigger and stronger than himself. In our reading from Genesis this morning, Jacob and his family have just set out on a journey. Years before, Jacob cheated his twin brother Esau out of his birthright, and there was enmity between the brothers. And Jacob had left home to live with his uncle Laban in Haran. Jacob made a new life for himself there and raised a family. In today's passage, Jacob and his family are returning to Jacob's family home in Canaan. And Jacob sends a message on ahead to let Esau know that he's on his way home, hoping to make peace with his brother. Jacob receives a message in return, saying that Esau was on his way, bringing 400 men with him. Jacob was terrified, believing that Esau was coming to take his revenge. Jacob sent his household across the river and prepared to meet his brother. And that night, Jacob wrestled with a man, perhaps an angel. Jacob prevails and receives a blessing, but his assailant puts his hip out of joint. Jacob emerged from his struggle both broken and blessed, and he gathered his family, and he limped along into an unknown future toward his brother Esau, heading for home. When we wrestle with God, the struggle itself and the wounds that we receive belong to victory, not to defeat. God remains with us in our struggles. God remains with us in the questioning that is a part of every human journey toward right relationship with God and with one another. As we learn to love our neighbor in times of peace and in times of conflict. In his letter to the Romans, Paul is wrestling with God. Paul gives voice to his sorrow and his anguish over his kindred, God's chosen people, who had not welcomed the gospel message. Paul said, "For I wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, my kindred, according to the flesh." Paul's prayer echoes the prayer of Moses at Mount Sinai when he came down and found God's people celebrating around a golden calf idol. Moses cried out to God, "But now, if you will only forgive them, but if not, please blot me out of the book that you have written." Paul and Moses loved their people deeply, sacrificially. "Have mercy, Lord. If you must, take me in their place." Paul continues to express his theology of grace and redemption through three chapters in Romans. He reminds us that the saving work of Christ is ongoing, working itself out generation by generation. Near the end of Romans chapter 11, Paul states his conviction that God does not go back on his promises. As it says in Romans 11:29, "For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable." It's the age-old human question, isn't it? Who is saved? Who is not? How do we know? As Mother Anita pointed out to us a few weeks ago, we are all a mixture of good wheat and invasive weeds, faithfulness and sinfulness. We can't separate out one from the other, even within our own selves, much less in others, lest we harm that which is hidden from us, but so precious to God. If we are willing, God can use even our sin to heal us. For we must learn to have compassion for ourselves before we can give that gift to others. Our work is not to comprehend nor to judge, but to conduct our lives as imperfect but willing citizens of God's kingdom, broken, blessed, and sent forth to be the good news in a world that cries out for mercy. Our reading from Matthew's Gospel is one of the most familiar and beloved stories of the Bible, one of six Gospel passages about Jesus feeding a multitude. Jesus' reputation was growing. People by the thousands sought him out. He had something they wanted. They perhaps weren't quite sure what that was, but they were drawn to him. Jesus went among the people, ministering to them and healing them. And when evening came, his disciples suggested that the people should be sent away into the villages to find food. But Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You, give them something to eat. 5 loaves, 2 fishes, thousands of hungry people. You give them something to eat?" Only with God does the impossible become possible. And so Jesus turned to his Father with this most human of needs, the hunger of the many. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, Jesus looked up to heaven, and he blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples. In his act of prayer and blessing, Jesus modeled for his disciples and for us that it is only with God's help that we are empowered to respond with compassion to those who God calls us to serve. Week by week, in our prayers of the people, we pray for those for whom every day is a struggle to survive, for those in fear of harm, for those longing for justice in the face of oppression. We pray for those suffering the pain and indignity of illness, of human frailty, and the enduring sorrow of life's endings. It's not very hard to see how human suffering can lead to a kind of wrestling with God, wondering why God doesn't answer my prayer, wondering if God cares or even exists. You feed them, Jesus says. But we have so very little here. 5 loaves, 2 fish. Bring me what you have, Jesus says. Jesus' disciples were wrestling with this impossible scenario. 5 loaves, 2 fish, 5,000 men, along with their women and children. I've heard that women and children also like to eat. So what, that might have been 10, 15,000 people? But we call it the feeding of the 5. But the disciples offered what they had, and Jesus looked to his Father and blessed what they were able to offer. With God, all things are possible, and the multitude was fed abundantly with leftovers. God takes what we offer, blesses it, and works his goodwill through our offering. God does not require superhuman effort. God does not ask us to do the impossible, to exhaust ourselves trying to achieve a miracle all by our little selves. Even Jesus looked to his Father to feed the multitude. All God asks of us is that we bring what we have, even if it seems so very little, even if it feels kind of hopeless or pointless. All God requires of us is our willing yes. The kind of yes that is born of the faith that if God wills it, if the Holy Spirit encourages it, if love requires it, then it is possible with God's help, in spite of every appearance to the contrary. God in his great love has provided everything that we need to accomplish the work which he calls us to. Our time, our abilities, our spiritual gifts, and the financial and material resources that God's gifts enable us to acquire in order to sustain and equip us for God's service. But far beyond these generous gifts, God has given us something infinitely more precious. God has given us himself because he made us for himself. God is love, and he made us for love. God invites us into intimate relationship with him. Through the gift of prayer, we never walk alone. God has given us Jesus, our Lord, our teacher, our Redeemer, the one who completes us in our insufficiency. God has given us the Holy Spirit, our advocate, our comforter, companion, conscience. God has given us the church, the body of Christ, people just like us, who love God and want to follow Jesus, but sometimes wrestle with questions of faith and the limitations of our incarnate lives. It's okay, Jesus says. Bring me what you have. Jesus said to his disciples, "You give them something to eat." And so we did, didn't we? We each offered what we could, even though our own gift seemed so small against the hunger of the many. We brought our gifts in faith and hope and love and in laughter and playfulness and silliness and the joy of the Spirit. And with God's help, we together provided ICS with enough peanut butter to make sandwiches for that multitude, women and children included, all 5,000 of them, and their women and children. With God, all things are possible. I can't feed a multitude. You can't feed a multitude, but we did, with God's help. Together, we are the body of Christ, called to heal the broken, feed the hungry, and share the love of God in Christ Jesus. God calls us and empowers us for his service. And when we serve the will of God, miracles happen. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to him from generation to generation in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen. This